KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 52 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 63. Already were some reports this morning from the Panora area of some hail in that area, and radar shows most of the showers now have moved off to our east. The heaviest concentration is between Carroll and Jefferson, stretching on down like in a reverse C pattern, around the Perry area, through near West Des Moines, down through Winterset, Creston, and just to the east of Corning. Our news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, arrests made earlier this year in Atlantic haven't stemmed the tide of spray paint vandalism being perpetrated on city property and private businesses. City Councilman Dana Halter reported at Wednesday night's council meeting that AMU officials are concerned about recent incidents of graffiti having occurred at the water plant. Halter told Mayor Dave Jones it's not the only location being hit by spray paint vandals.
And I think if you look around, it's very noticeable. If you pay attention, there's a lot of it around town.
So people see anybody doing graffiti.
Exactly.
Just give us a call. We need especially the time they're doing it. Give us a call.
Find anybody with a black spray can, let us know.
In January, you may recall, Police Chief Steve Green reported three juveniles were arrested in connection with a string of spray paint vandalism incidents in the downtown area, which occurred over a period of several weeks. More than two dozen buildings sustained damage. The teens were charged with trespassing, criminal mischief in the second degree, and criminal gang participation. And in the summer of 2010, six people were arrested for vandalism and spray painting incidents at locations which included the downtown city park and at downtown businesses. The incidents included a homemade acid bomb, which was used at the park shelter and on a monument. And at that time, damage was estimated at $3,000. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has awarded a $2 million contract for levee repair work along the Missouri River in southwest Iowa and northwest Missouri. The project includes placing large boulders known as riprap on the riverside of a new setback levees built near Hamburg and in Watson, Missouri, following last summer's historic flooding. The contract also includes installing a filter fabric to help reduce the potential of erosion. The work should be done by the end of July. The contract was awarded to Western Contracting Corporation in Sioux City. Atlantic Parks and Recreation Director Roger Herring has made available to the media mileage maps for the walking and biking trails of the Schulberg Recreation Area. At a recent park board meeting, the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce, in addition to KJAN and other local media, had expressed an interest in putting the charts up on their websites for viewing by the public. Herring says he hopes to have a park and rec link off of the city's website in the near future, but that feature is currently not available. He said the walking trails are getting used frequently, but questions have remained about how far the trails were. Images of the trail mileage charts are available under this story on our website at kjan.com. All you need to do is to look under the Community Hub tab, click on the News or Sports tab, or under our Programs tab, click on the Ag and Outdoor section. When you click on the available images, they'll each pop up for larger viewing. Herring said that they'll have some signage at the entrances to the trails that will also have mileage charts on them eventually, but there is currently no funding available for those signs. The Harlan City Council this week held a public hearing on the issuance of general obligation bonds. Hearing no comments from the public, the council acted on approving a resolution which instituted the proceedings necessary to take additional action for the issuance of the bonds, not to exceed $2.5 million. A second resolution was also approved pertaining to the direct advertisement for sale of $2.455 million in GO bonds and approval of the electronic bidding process. In other business, the Harlan City Council Tuesday passed a resolution approving a contract and bond with Story Construction Company of Ames for the rotating biological contractor disc replacement as it pertains to the wastewater treatment plant there. And a resolution was approved which would allow the Harlan Police Department back into the Social Security system. Back in the 1980s, the Harlan PD was removed from receiving Social Security because they were put on IPERS. City Administrator Terry Cox told the board he had several meetings with officials at IPERS, and they have indicated there is a remote chance that the Social Security Administration may allow the Harlan Police Department officers to opt back into the Social Security system by a referendum process. The resolution was approved, but Cox says there's no guarantee the department will receive Social Security, but it gets the ball rolling. The state must approve the resolution as well. Brett Erlmeyer, chair of the Audubon County Community Foundation, announced this week that five nonprofit groups or organizations in that county have been awarded grants totaling $95,900. The largest grant amount of over $48,000 went to the Audubon Recreation Foundation for a building project. The grant will help to cover the costs of architectural designs, site preparation, and the beginning building stages. The Audubon Stage Committee received a $28,720 grant for the renovation of the community stage to fit a 1900s theme. In addition, the Audubon County Agricultural Society received an $8,000 grant for renovation of the Agri Hall. The Audubon County Conservation Club received a little over $9,000 grant to provide a well for public restrooms and a kitchen at the ACCC facility. And the Exira Chamber of Commerce received $2,100 for improvements to the city park. All of those organizations had submitted applications to the Audubon County Community Foundation prior to the February 1st deadline and met the criteria as Audubon County nonprofit agencies or organizations with charitable missions in one or more areas. The Page County Sheriff's Office says that no injuries were reported following two separate accidents which occurred Tuesday afternoon. At around 12:20 p.m., a car driven by 56-year-old Pauline Garvis Thompson of Essex was headed westbound on 150th, about one quarter of a mile west of D Avenue, when two deer ran on the roadway. Garvis Thompson swerved to avoid hitting the animals and in the process lost control of her car. The vehicle entered the north ditch and hit a tree located along a creek. Damage to the 1994 Cadillac was estimated at $4,500. There were no citations issued. The second accident happened just before 5 p.m. Tuesday on H Avenue, just north of 170th Street. Officials said a dump truck and a trailer owned by Southwest Iowa Rock and Sand and driven by 51-year-old Lance Most of Red Oak was traveling south on H Avenue and slowing to dump a load of gravel onto the roadway when the trailer was rear-ended by an SUV. The driver of the 2005 Chevy Blazer, 34-year-old Laura Thornburg of Essex, told authorities dust produced by the truck impaired her ability to see the trailer. Her SUV sustained $7,000 damage and was considered a total loss. The truck and trailer sustained about $1,000 damage, and there were no citations issued. Avoca City Manager Clint Fichter announced yesterday his intentions to run for the Republican Party's nomination in the June 5th primary for Iowa House District 22. District 22 includes most of rural Pottawatomie County and a part of Council Bluffs. The local supporters will be hosting a Neola area kickoff event at Sweet Gatherings in Neola this evening from 5 until 7. Fichter says as a state representative, he will be a voice for our individual liberty, fiscal conservatism, local control, common sense regulatory reform, maintaining necessary infrastructure, and a world-class education system from pre-K to college. In Northwest Iowa News, a teacher has been placed on leave after five students were hospitalized when they ingested caffeine during a science experiment at Buena Vista University in Storm Lake. University spokeswoman Jennifer Felton told a Sioux City television station that the students' instructor is on administrative leave with pay pending the outcome of an investigation. There were no details of the experiment immediately released. Felton said in a statement that the student's instructor has been placed on administrative leave with pay pending the outcome of the investigation, but no name was released. And they say that all research involving physical activity or changes in the human subjects have been suspended until further notice. The death of a 14-year-old Northwest Iowa student has prompted discussion by relatives, school officials, and others about the bullying that is being blamed for his suicide. The family of Kenneth Weissen of Primgar said that he was harassed at the school after he told people that he was gay. His mother, Jenny Chambers, told the Sioux City Journal that he asked her not to talk to administrators. Administrators and Chambers say they didn't know about the barrage of hate that had been directed at Kenneth, who killed himself on Sunday. There were threatening cell phone calls and voicemails and messages posted online. His 16-year-old sister Kayla says one student called her brother and left him death threats, saying that he didn't deserve to live. And taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, the entertainment world is remembering Dick Clark, who died yesterday of a heart attack at the age of 82. Janet Jackson tweeted that Clark changed the face of musical television. Music writer and producer Quincy Jones said Clark was a pioneer whose mark on American culture will be felt forever. And the court appearance is scheduled today for a Texas woman accused of killing a woman and stealing her three-day-old son. Authorities describe Verna McLean as a nurse who suffered a miscarriage and was looking for a baby after telling her fiancé she had delivered a child. Kayla Golden was shot multiple times outside of a clinic near Houston Tuesday. Her son was safely recovered. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Frida Hemmingson, age 90, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Frida Hemmingson will be today at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Drake Thomas B. Shorner of Atlantic, the son of Katie Jo B. Shorner of Atlantic and Casey Ellerbeck of Omaha, was born and died last Thursday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. A memorial service for Drake B. Shorner will be today at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Esther Thompson, age 93, of Panora, died Friday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Services for Esther Thompson will be today at 10:30 at the Church of the Brethren in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Sandra Duty, age 70, of Cumberland, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. A memorial service for Sandra Duty will be this evening from 6 until 8 o'clock at the Cumberland Community Building. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Quinn Allen Martin, the one-month-old son of Joshua and Brandy Shoup Martin, passed away on Sunday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A funeral mass for Quinn Martin will be tonight at 7 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Eldred E.J. Conrad, age 92, of Harlan, died February 20th in Elkhorn. Graveside services for E.J. Conrad will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Nina Mickelson, age 98, of Orient, died Monday at Corning Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of Life services for Nina Mickelson will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Orient. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Terrence Howard Allen, age 74, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A memorial visitation for Terrence Allen will be Friday from 5 until 7 p.m. at the Recon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Geneva Schreck, age 84, of Coon Rapids, died April 13th at her home. Funeral services for Geneva Schreck will be Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Louis Lauritsen, age 88, of Farmington, New Mexico, and formerly of Audubon, died December 19th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Louis Lauritsen will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Doris Betty Elizabeth Bruck, age 88, of Avoca, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Mass of Christian burial for Betty Bruck will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Byron Jensen, age 78, of Harlan, died April 13th at Bertu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Byron Jensen will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ralph Steerly, age 74, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Ralph Steerly will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. And David L. Nelson, age 75, of Atlantic, died this morning at his home. Services for David Nelson are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.